Hello and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff and we have a very special guest on the show today. She's a young lady who is a teacher. She's been in a Beer Nuts Productions film and I've known her for a very, very long time. It's Ashley Forsyth. Now, Ashley is deaf, so she has a male interpreter with her today called Mikey. Say g'day, Mikey.
G'day.
Basically, so how it's going to work for you guys at home is obviously I'll be asking the questions, Mikey will sign them, Ashley will sign her answers back, and then Mikey will tell us what she says. So there may be short periods of 15 seconds of silence or whatever while Ashley is doing her answer. So don't think your speakers have exploded. They haven't. Ashley's just answering the question. So all good. So welcome, Ashley.
Thank you very much for having me. It's pretty cool.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, firstly, I want to learn a little bit more about sign language because I think a lot of people don't know much about it. Now, one thing I know is that Auslan, which is the Australian version of sign language, is different to English. Can you maybe give a little bit of an example and tell us how there is a difference?
So let me just explain a little bit more about grammar and English and stuff like that. So Auslan is very, very different. We use English words, but our structure is almost aligned to a French way of speaking. So people assume that Auslan is basically just English being produced. It's all about gestures and signs and stuff. So there is actually a grammatical way to use Auslan. There is a way to sign appropriately. So an example I can give you. In English, you would say, I saw a beautiful red car. In Auslan, we'd see car, beautiful. So we're talking about the car first. We put the car, we set it up in our space, and then we comment about what it is. So in English, it's a very linear way of speaking, and the way we express ourselves. In Auslan, because it's a three-dimensional language, we can unpack so much more. And that's why the deaf people can seem quite blunt because we are very straight to the point. We see what we see.
That's not a bad thing.
No, it is not. I love hearing that.
So another thing as well is that every country has their own sign language. So even if you go to a country like America, for example, you can't communicate with another deaf person because even though you're both English-speaking people, you've got a different sign language. Is that a frustration at all when you go on holidays?
That's exactly right, but I wouldn't say it's a frustration. You always find a way. We find a way to communicate. That deaf identity there, that deafhood is still there. We can still manage to work out at common language together. The funny thing is, so I think deaf people travel better overseas than what hearing people do, to be honest. As an example, my dad and I went on holidays. We went to Thailand. Dad was trying to communicate all sorts of things to these Taiwanese people and yeah, just had no idea. I came in, did my thing, bada bing, bada boom, a lot smoother. So deaf people, we're great. We can gesture, we can mime, we find different ways to communicate, whether they're hearing or deaf.
So going back to the first point of it being different to English, that means when you were young, you had to learn two languages essentially. Can you take us through how difficult that might have been for you?
I wouldn't say it was difficult as such. You learn to love a language, you understand a language, you unpack a language. So with English, it's a hard language to learn. Because it's so lineal, it's interesting when you compare it to Auslan. So I use my Auslan to polish my English. So my English actually got better because my Auslan was more sophisticated.
Cool, very cool, very cool. So what are some common misconceptions about the deaf community? I know I've talked to you about this before, and like one thing you said to me is people can think you're stupid because you're deaf, where the brain works fine, it's the ears that are the problem. So
you are spot on. You're exactly right. Because people think we're part of the disabled group. They think we've got a disability. It means we can't do stuff. I'm like, no. Physically, I'm fine. I can walk. I can swim. I can drive a car. I can do anything you can do. I just can't hear. That's the only difference. So we access our information through signing or through an interpreter. And as we've got an interpreter, you can see I'm quite an intelligent human being. So look, we have barriers if there's no interpreters. And that's where the sort of disability comes into play. So if I'm meeting people and sort of say that I'm deaf and you can see them, they fumble and they over-accentuate their mouth and do all sorts of things. I'm like, don't talk to me like I'm 2 years old. My mouth, everything still works. My brain still works. You don't need to either over-enunciate or shout at me. It's just because my ears don't work.
Actually, that's
normally.
That's a very good point you make, because I remember back when I sort of first met you and had my first interactions with deaf people, I would remember the one thing that you guys would always tell me is, don't over-talk. I can't understand you when you're... I can't lip-read you when you're talking big.
You are exactly right. I do remember that. Oh, God, we get fed up with it. We get fed up. People over-accentuate. It's like, no, talk normally, and we can actually understand what you're saying. You over-accentuate. It's like, well, who, what? Because we're so used to doing that, we have to sort of assimilate in the general community. So we get used to lip-reading. We find lip-reading cues, but when someone goes out the norm, it's like, now what are you talking about? It's like, are you speaking a different language? Are you actually still with us in English here? It's not the way that we talk, so it doesn't make sense to us. So we are used to having to try to lip read and say, yeah, just the common things like say thank you and please and okay. Everyone sort of gets across that message okay.
I want to chat a little bit about bullying, because obviously having a disability, it can put a bit of a target on your head for bullies. Can you talk about some of the not nice things that have taken place and how that made you feel?
Yeah, bullying does happen. A lot of deaf people, I think you'll find, have been bullied. We don't always live that perfect lifestyle, unfortunately. Growing up, I think I was okay. I had an older brother that was always with me. I had a great circle of friends that really understood my deafness, and they would stand up for me, but I also then had to be more independent as well and say, hang on, I can also stand up for myself. So that bullying teaches us life lessons, I guess, to become more resilient and to actually stand up and say, hang on, there's nothing wrong with the way we are. The process to actually get to that enlightenment is painful, though. Like, you know, we have to ask, what do I do here? What happens if this happens next time and stuff like that? It's not nice.
And so one thing else that I would like to chat about is you told me about your university experience and how they wouldn't let you graduate. Could you explain to everybody why they wouldn't let you graduate university?
I couldn't because they thought my disability, my deafness was an issue. So I studied for 4 years. There were no issues. I could do everything. I did my prac. I was working with the hearing kids. Everything was running swimmingly. 3 weeks to go before we graduate, the university comes to a conclusion. They say, no, it's a risk. It's a liability. You won't be able to hear a fire alarm. You can't do this. You can't do that. I'm like going, are you serious? This is out and out discrimination. Why would you let me study for 4 years and then to tell me I can't do it? They assumed, I think, that I was going to bail out because it was just too hard having a disability. Clearly it wasn't. And so the ultimate decision was, I was discriminated against, and they said, oh, you know, we'll see you in court. I'm like, this is unbelievable.
So
this is, you know, they couldn't even accommodate me. They were trying to intimidate me. It wasn't nice, the perception of this university thinking I had a disability and that I was going to be a liability in the workplace there. I mean, I've looked after myself. All they see is the barrier that I've got rather than the abilities that I've got. So it's very frustrating.
So two things there. Firstly, I should have said you were studying to be a teacher for deaf children. And secondly, one of the things they said that you mentioned in your answer was you can't see a fire alarm. Now, there are ways to get around things like a flashing light, for example.
You're spot on. Exactly right. And you know what? I can see if there's smoke. I can see if there's a fire in a room. I'm not going to stand there and keep teaching the kids with flames going on around me. I'm not just going to keep teaching them because I can't hear an alarm. It's just utter nonsense. You know what? I can smell too. You wouldn't believe it. And you know what? If I saw someone running, I'd be interested to see what was going on.
And so how did that experience, how did that make you feel?
I was angry. I was very upset. I was depressed. My world had been swept out from underneath me here. Growing up, I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a teacher of the deaf. I wanted to have that passion working with deaf kids. I wanted to get their language up. I wanted them to be able to sign and have English. And I'm not blaming educators. I'm not blaming teachers. I find teachers, in my experience, have found it hard to communicate ideas and concepts to me. But when I had a deaf teacher come and teach us, it was just so much easier. It was easier because we had the same language, and that inspired me. I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be that teacher. So I've worked as a teacher aide in the schools with deaf kids, and I've seen some horrible, horrible teachers out there, horrible educators out there, and I just want to sort of say, look, step aside. I can do this, but unfortunately I'm not qualified. So I wanted to do that. it's just that common language and that common shared lived experience. And that's why I wanted to do that. I wanted to be a great role model for these kids and model life and language for them so they can become successful adults.
You actually raise a really good point that I'd never thought of before, and that is if a deaf child has a teacher who is also deaf, not only are they going to get a good education, but the lessons that will probably be communicated to them better. Would that be a fair statement?
You're spot on. You've nailed it. Because hearing teachers, not to their own fault, but they just don't understand what it's like being a deaf child. They don't understand that we have deafhood. They just don't understand. Well, it's a different culture. It's a different way of living. Yes, we live in the same place, but it's different. As a deaf person, you've lived that experience and you can see if a child is understanding and what their background knowledge is and can adapt and make sure that the lesson is still being taught. We have to sort of guide them on that right path to grasp a concept. So you're sort of guiding them, just making sure they're on the right trajectory there. A hearing teacher just goes, oh, no, they don't get it. Oh, it must be their deafness and they just don't get it. Yeah, it's just that child. You know, as a deaf parent or as a deaf person, as a deaf teacher, you can guide your child. You can understand it.
And I suppose also that goes into the Ausland and English being different. I mean, a teacher might know that intellectually, but they might not understand, for example, as you gave us the example with car, beautiful, they might think, oh, well, she gets an F for her English exam.
And that's very true as well. I can remember this very one time with my teacher when I was in high school. And the teacher had said to me, please put your book at the back. And so it was all very signed English. And I'm looking at the teacher going, what do you mean? Do I put my book on the teacher's back? Because she said back. She actually signed back rather than using the right sign concept for back. She goes back. She actually pointed at her back. And I'm like, if you used Auslan, you'd actually point to the back of the room rather than saying, like, pointing at your back. Because I would. I'm going, what an idiot teacher. What is going on here? I couldn't understand what I was saying. And that's the difference with Auslan and assigned English representation.
Now, like I said at the start, you have also been in a Beer Nuts Productions film. What was that experience like for you?
Oh, I loved it. It was a wonderful experience. A lot of people hit me up about it and they said it was amazing because not many deaf actors out there. So it was just great exposure and just create more awareness. So I was pretty excited to be a part of it all. And you see hearing people, they're doing sort of the deaf role. And I go, hang on, let's get a deaf person in here playing a deaf role. So it was really exciting. Loved it.
Actually, that's a very good point. I get frustrated too when I watch a movie, for example, and there's an actor in a wheelchair, and I think, well, there's lots of great wheelchair actors out there, and yet you've got an able-bodied person playing that role. Why not get an appropriate wheelchair actor in? And I think physically they'd be able to do it better, and also their acting ability would be equal. So why use an able-bodied person where there are deaf or wheelchair actors or blind actors, people out there who can do it?
And again, just adding on to that as well, and even like people with disabilities and stuff like that, they have their own mannerisms. They know, they're living that experience. They don't have to act as such. So deaf people, we have a way of how we engage with people. We can sort of scan and we'll look, we'll lip read and stuff like that. But you can see in movies with a hearing person that doesn't have those deaf mannerisms, they're just not doing those little nuances, those little subtle things that make it good. I can remember I was watching one line, they were fighting outside a window and this lady was washing up and I'm like, a deaf person would have been looking out that window going, what the devil is going on outside, rather than just being oblivious going, I can't hear, that means I can't see anything. It's like, that's not what deaf people do. And that sort of proliferates the whole deaf people are dumb thing.
Now, Ashley, did you ever think in a million years you would be sitting in an audio recording studio recording an audio podcast for people to listen to all over the world? Is that something you ever thought you'd be doing?
No, I would never have thought in a million years I'd do something like this. So I'm so grateful that you've hit me up and asked me to come in and just share my knowledge and talk about our world and what it's like being deaf.
Absolutely. Now, I should also mention, because people might be wondering, what does she actually do now, besides obviously starring in Beer Nuts Productions films? What do you actually do now for a living, Ashley?
So I now am an Auslan teacher. So I'm training students to become interpreters, to work in the deaf community out there. Some people want to learn a new language, which is amazing, so I'm happy to teach them that. Some people just want to, you know, just do stuff, and we teach baby sign now. So it's all about communication, and I love it. I love my job. I love being an educator. I'm teaching adults now, though, I'm teaching hearing adults, but the passion. The passion is definitely with the deaf kids. Hopefully one day I can do both.
No, well, hopefully, yes, absolutely. And Mikey, just a quick question for you. Why did you want to become an interpreter? What inspired you to do this for a living?
I wasn't inspired as such. My parents are deaf, and it was just something I was always going to do.
So with deaf parents, that's actually a really good question. With deaf parents, when were you taught signing?
I'm sure Ash could answer that, but as well. Well, I know Mike's parents are deaf, so they would have just taught him to sign from day dot. So so it was just a natural way of to do it all. Deaf parents, if they've got a hearing child, of course they're going to sign to their hearing child. And so that's why Mike is very proficient in both languages, because he's had both languages from birth. His first language is Auslan. It's the receptive language that he's getting from his parents. And he learns English just from being in the community and going to school and stuff like that. A lot of people would think that Mike is deaf because he's got those nuances, and they sort of have to ask him, and they don't understand sometimes that he's hearing because he's got those nuances because he grew up in that deaf family.
That's very, very interesting. I wasn't aware of that, Mikey. So that's very interesting because, yeah, it's actually, that's another good question that I just thought of is when do you actually teach signing to a child? Like, if your child is hearing impaired, when would those lessons begin? At what age?
From birth, from day dot, from day one. They're going to sign straight away. If you've got deaf parents or if you've got a deaf child, you want to sign to them from day one because it's all about language acquisition. If a deaf person's first language and they want to communicate with their child, of course they're going to sign. Later on, you know, obviously a kid will go to school and they can learn those extra languages and stuff like that. So a hearing baby, so those deaf parents are going to get that incidental learning. But a deaf baby needs to be explicitly taught to sign. So they should be teaching them from day dot.
So if they don't, it's going to hinder their education going forward, because the longer they leave it to teach them, the harder it's going to be, like anything in life, yeah?
You're exactly right. My parents were hearing, and they didn't know. They didn't know what Auslan was. And that's not their fault, and that's okay. That was just what it was at the time. So the doctor misinformed my parents. They said that signing is bad and you have to learn to talk. You have to be oral. And so they tried to teach me to speak and lip read. Look, I did manage... But I feel like a parrot. I didn't feel like I was who I was. I feel like I wasn't expressing myself. I mean, I could speak words. I had no idea what they meant. And they're going, you know, great girl, you can say this word, you can say that word. And I'm going, but I don't even know what it means. It doesn't make sense to me, this English concept. So it was hard at times. And that's why I think the more sophisticated my Auslan got, I could map that to my English and it made sense. So I'm parroting all these English words as a kid. But now as an adult, when I'm learning more, and I'm going, oh, that's what that one meant. So, yeah.
Well, it's been really interesting to chat with you today, Ashley. We're out of time. And Mikey, thank you so much for coming in and helping out today. I do appreciate it.
No, thank you so very much for having me. And thank you, Mikey, for coming in as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, that brings us to the end of today's episode of the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. Like I said earlier, if you want to see Ashley in action, you can check out How to Land That Dream Job on the Beer Nuts Productions website. Beernutsproductions.com is the place to go for all your entertainment needs. And of course, like and subscribe to this podcast. Make sure you leave a friendly comment in the comment section. That's always helpful. And until next time, we will see you then.
It better be a good one. We'll be watching you.
Thanks, Ashley. See you later, everybody.